1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy hump day. It is March 21st, 2018, and that's right, you are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We've got another great 60 minutes coming right to your ear. On today's Current Sports, I'm going to try my best to get away from the topic that we have been diving into and dissecting and venting about for the past 2 days here on WKAR's Current Sports. That being, of course, the Michigan State men's basketball second-round loss in the NCAA tournament to the Syracuse Orange. We have pretty much exhausted that conversation now. I know many of you probably still have a lot of thoughts. And again, this is going to be a loss that Spartan fans, you're not going to get over for quite some time. I totally understand that. All right? You may need to go see a therapist. You may need to go take a walk, meditate a bit, do some yoga. Whatever you have to do to get your mind off of this, please try it. Because this will sting for a while. But on today's Current Sports, I'm going to try to deviate away from it just for a bit. And I want to talk about the entire picture of the NCAA tournament as it pertains to a few of the fun storylines that we have seen so far, as it pertains to the remaining Sweet 16 teams, as well as the Michigan Wolverines, who somehow, some way, found a way to win over the weekend. We all know about the Jordan Poole buzzer-beating three-pointer that has been replayed countless times on airwaves from here to Pluto. What a shot it was. What a moment it was. That will be a shot that is talked about in Michigan athletics lore for quite some time. Forever, to be honest with you. So we'll talk about Michigan's incredible win over the Houston Cougars as now the Michigan Wolverines prepare to take on Texas A&M, the Aggies, out in Los Angeles, California. We'll tell you what John Beilein had to say when it comes to previewing that matchup, how his team is preparing, and one particular area that Beilein will be honing in on if the Wolverines want to move along in the tournament. But what a run for the Michigan Wolverines. We'll talk about that run. Also, when it comes to one of my favorite stories of the tournament, those who follow me on social media, I have not been shy in letting it be known that I have an absolute crush on Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. I love this story. She is the team chaplain, and she is 98 years old. Team chaplain of Loyola Chicago. Loyola Chicago stunned the college basketball world, earning a Sweet 16 bid in a win over number 3 Tennessee. How shocking was that, right? But we'll have a cool feature done by NPR's Noel King, who talked with Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt about her relationship with the team and how she ended up as team chaplain. Just a really cool story, all right? You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about Eastern Michigan University cutting 4 sports. A bit shocking, I must say, because I think that this story reveals a lot when it comes to the state of collegiate athletics today. So we will have that conversation on the back end of the show, and we will do all of this by, of course, also inviting you all to be a part of the fun. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number. Lock it in your phone and just simply dial the number. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We'll put you live here on the air. You can also join us via social media. The Facebook live stream can be seen at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment below that video, and I'll do my best to read your comments throughout this hour. And you can tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. You know what? Before moving forward, engineer Ian Hawley, who's behind the glass. Ian, I have to ask you, man, how are you holding up, dude, as a student here at Michigan State University? Senior year, you're graduating May. How are you holding up as we spent the last 2 days dissecting what happened on Sunday afternoon in Detroit? How are you holding up, dude? You all right? You all right back there? You need some therapy?
You know, I was kind of hoping for some kind of national title, either in football or basketball, graduated, and that's every student's dream, but I'll get over it just like every other student who hasn't gotten to see that got over it before me. So, you know what? I'll be fine, Al. I just need a couple more days to cry it out.
All right. So you need a few more days to cry it out. All right. Just checking on you, man.
Crying on the inside.
I like that. All right. Keep hope alive, brother. All right.
Thanks,
it's not
Al.
The end of the world. The sun will come out tomorrow. Yeah, heck, it's out today. It's actually a beautiful day today, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we start with boys high school basketball. Man, it's really, really a dreary time to be a basketball fan here in East Lansing, Michigan, isn't it? Because we don't have a local team that made it to at least the semifinal round of the MHSAA boys basketball tournament. A bit unfortunate, Holland West Ottawa used a 12-0 run in the second half of an 11-0 run in the third to pull away from East Lansing twice and used timely free throw shooting down the stretch to hold on for a 58-55 victory over the Trojans. The Panthers will make their first trip to the Breslin Center this Thursday to play Novi, a 75-73 winner over Belleville, and a buzzer beater on Tuesday in the Class A state semifinals. The Williamston boys basketball team also fell short of its second trip to the Breslin in the last 3 years. The Hornets fell to Benton Harbor, this one not even close, 71-51 the final in Tuesday night's Class B state championship quarterfinals at Ionia High School. The Tigers are now headed to their second straight state semifinal. The Hornets only had two losses on the season before running into Benton Harbor, which is now 25-1. So, again, with the elimination of Williamston and East Lansing High School, those were our only two local teams still dancing here in mid-Michigan for a possible state championship berth. And they both get eliminated last night. Oh, boy. I guess the tears continue, Ian. The tears continue for local fans here. Moving on, the Michigan football team will host another night spring game this year out in A-squared. The athletic department announced Tuesday that its 2018 spring football game will be held. Mark your calendars, Wolverines fans. 7 p.m. April 14th at Michigan Stadium. The event is free and open to the public and will be televised live on the Big Ten Network. This will be the second time in 3 years Michigan's hosted a spring game at night, as the 2016 game was played on a Friday night in April. The Wolverines will begin spring practice Friday in Ann Arbor. They are scheduled to host all 15 of their spring workouts in Ann Arbor this year. The team is still planning a trip to France at the end of April. How about that? All right, Miles Bridges has been named a second-team All-American
by the National Association of Basketball Coaches. That happened this morning, actually. Now, fellow Big Ten players Carson Edwards and Hita Bates Diop. Of course, Carson Edwards of the Purdue Boilermakers, who also are still dancing in the NCAA tournament, and Hita Bates Diop of Ohio State. Both were named to the second team as well. Bridges, Edwards, and Bates Diop were the only three Big Ten players represented on the three All-America teams. Now, Bridges and Bates Diop were also second-team All-Americans on teams from the Sporting News and the United States Basketball Writers Association. Edwards was a third-team pick by the Sporting News, the NABC Sporting News, and WSBWA, as well as the Associated Press All-America teams, are the four used to have players qualify as consensus All-Americans. All right, Michigan State baseball wraps up a five-game homestand to open its home ledger and kicks off a week off in state's foes by hosting Central Michigan tonight. Well, I should say this afternoon, and actually less than 2 hours now. First pitch scheduled at McLean Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field for 3:05 p.m. Now, today is MSU's fifth straight home game as the Spartans opened the 2018 home slate last week, playing its earliest home opener in school history on Thursday, March 15th, bettering the previous earliest home opener of March 20th back in 09. The Spartans have won 5 of the last 6 meetings as part of winning 14 of the last 19 games versus Central Michigan University dating back to 2011. Last season, the Spartans posted a 2-0 mark against the Chips, winning 11-2 in the 2017 home opener on March 21st, a 7-0 at Mount Pleasant on May 16th. Since head coach Jake Boss took over in 2009, MSU owns a 17-9 record against CMU. Head coach Jake Boss Jr. is also one victory shy of his 300th win at the helm of the Spartans, so he may get that later on this afternoon. The Detroit Lions have a new tight end, that being Luke Wilson, who has agreed to join the franchise on a 1-year deal that is worth $2.5 million plus incentives, according to ESPN. He'll join second-year pro Michael Roberts atop the Lions' new-look tight end rotation. Eric Ebron, their top pass catcher at the position the last 4 years, was cut an hour before the start of free agency. They tried to re-sign Darren Fells, their top blocker, but he bolted for a $12 million payday out in Cleveland. Now, as it pertains to Wilson, he's 28 years old. He grew up just across the river in Windsor. He played his college ball at Rice and was picked by the Seattle Seahawks in the 5th round of the 2013 draft. He was taken 158th overall, which was just 7 spots ahead of current Lions punter Sam Martin and 10 spots ahead of current right tackle Rick Wagner. Now, he spent most of the last 5 years serving as Seattle's number 2 tight end. He caught just 15 passes last year, 4 being touchdowns. And as it pertains to Eric Ebron, he is making it quite clear what he thinks of his time with the Honolulu Blue. And he's not saying much, but he is. On Monday, shortly after the Indianapolis Colts signed him, the tight end expressed elation on Instagram, saying he hasn't, quote, smiled like this in a long time, end quote, and telling Indianapolis reporters on a conference call that he has, quote, nothing to say, end quote, about his former team in the D. On Tuesday, Ebron continued throwing shade at the Lions, this time on a SportsCenter Instagram post that quoted Detroit Pistons star forward Blake Griffin. Like Ebron, Griffin recently switched teams and expressed happiness about being with a franchise that actually wants him there. Quote, I never want to be in a place where I'm not wanted. Coming here made me realize what a franchise looks like. That's what Blake Griffin said. And this is what that's the quote that the SportsCenter Instagram page posted on social media. Ebron responded to that post and commented below the post, quote, facts, exclamation mark. All right, the Detroit Pistons are now 1-0 in the Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond era. All right, maybe that's a little too much hype for a team that's headed toward missing the playoffs, but Reggie made his first appearance for the Pistons in 37 games last night and provided a glimpse of what the future could hold. Let's cross our fingers, right? Jackson had 7 points, 2 assists as the red, white, and royal blue cruised to a 115-88 dub over the Phoenix Suns. He played about the first 4 minutes of each quarter. Griffin finished only one rebound shy of a triple-double when Drummond had 10 points, 10 boards, 5 blocks. The Pistons were 19 and 13 when Jackson was injured. Now they are 32 and 39, five and a half games in back of the final playoff spot, the eighth and final playoff spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference with 11 games remaining. And speaking of the Pistons, Stan Van Gundy heard the reports on Tuesday, and he wanted everyone to know, quote, "They don't mean a damn thing," end quote. Van Gundy told the Pistons president, well, Van Gundy is the Pistons president and head coach. He spoke with reporters on Tuesday, the same day that Mark Stein of the New York Times reported the franchise was interested in bringing in former star Chauncey Billups to work with the team vice chairman Arn Tellem in a, quote, revamped front office. Now, going on here in this report, Van Gundy said this before the Pistons faced the Suns in Phoenix. Quote, "Pistons owner Tom Gores will make a decision at the end of the year." Billups is now an analyst for ESPN and was a candidate for the general manager job in Cleveland last summer before he turned down the offer. He was, as a player, the 2004 NBA Finals MVP with the Pistons. Oh, the glory days. And speaking of the Pistons, we'll have more on them in just a moment. Let's keep it pushing. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners.
Obviously, listen, that's flattering. It really is. Everybody knows how I feel about Detroit, but it's 100% false. I haven't spoken to anybody with the organization about the possibility. Actually, I hate when these things come out because that job is not open. You know, I think Stan has done a good job with what he's doing right now. So it's unfair that something like that would come out, especially when it's completely false. And I feel for the people involved because they have to deal with that and they have to listen to quotes. And it's just unfortunate, you know. But there's nothing that I can do about, you know, about that. But, you know, you talk about expressing interest to who?
Right.
They haven't expressed interest to me, so I haven't spoken to anybody. So it's unfortunate.
But, I mean, by his response, you know, that's why we all look up to him and know when the time comes, it's going to be right for him. So, you know, we just can't wait till he in that role.
Chauncey Billups denying reports from ESPN's Mark Stein that the Pistons are interested in Billups possibly holding a position in the organization's front office. You know, that's how situations usually like this go, right? The rumor mill comes out. Mark Stein may have talked to somebody from the organization, I would assume, right? But again, ESPN's credibility has not been great as of late. Let's just say that. So I don't know who Mark Stein talked to, but you just heard Chauncey Billups on Rachel Nichols' show, The Jump, saying, "I haven't talked to anybody. I have not talked to anybody." I don't know where that report came from, basically. So Billups is now an NBA analyst for ESPN. He does a great job on the air as well. I really like watching Billups break down games and talk about the game of basketball from his perspective. He's quite entertaining as well. Very good. But, you know, I think he does have an itch to get back into the game in some way, shape, form, or capacity. But, you know, and I'm looking at comments here on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Jalen Bell says, "How about the Pistons, Al?" A win is a win, right? Even if it's against the one of the worst teams in the NBA in the Phoenix Suns. And it's just a tough time right now for anybody who enjoys basketball here in the mid-Michigan area. Chances are you are a Michigan State men's basketball fan. And chances are, you know, you probably follow the local high school basketball scene as well. And, you know, as I stated in our headliners, we don't have a local team that's heading to the Breslin Center to compete for a state championship, as both East Lansing and Williamston both fell last night. I was quite surprised that East Lansing didn't get back to the Breslin. They had a great team, a great season as well, but, you know, it was riddled with some drama. You know, in the back end of the year, head coach Steve Fenimore deciding to step down after he was suspended after a win over Lansing Eastern. He was confronted by a parent. Him and that parent got into a verbal altercation. And then also Steve gets into a verbal altercation with the East Lansing athletic director. And that led to the suspension later on that week on a Friday game. And then next week, news comes out that Steve is basically saying, I'm done. I don't want to coach anymore. I'm stepping down. And then Kevin Mays stepped in as the head coach. They won a few games under Mays, but they come just a bit short against Holland West Ottawa, 58-55 loss for the East Lansing Trojans. And then Williamston, really surprising me. I didn't expect Williamston to get blown out by 20 points to Benton Harbor. So no local teams at the Breslin to enjoy. March Madness has officially ended for Spartan fans. What do you do? What do you do? I don't know, go take a walk or something, or I don't know. Hope you guys have a hobby out there. I really hope Spartan fans have a nice hobby, right, Ian?
You're not going to get much from the Pistons either, so.
No, right. My Pistons aren't going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're 5.5 games in back of that final playoff spot against the Miami Heat. And now I have to legitimately ask now, is Stan Van Gundy on the hot seat? And I want to connect this real briefly here because we've heard this chatter now for a long time. These past few weeks, the Stan Van Gundy on the hot seat debate has really ramped up, right? And deservingly so. I mean, this was a team that started off really hot, had all the potential in the world, and then just fell off the rails. Fell off the rails completely. You know, they made this huge trade with Blake Griffin. I wasn't a big fan of it. Surprisingly, many people out there were, those that follow the NBA were, and I said, all right, this is cool, but this is just a move to get butts in the seat downtown at Little Caesars Arena, all right? And I think we're so enthralled with, if you want to win in today's NBA, I do agree with this as well. I think you got to have one or two stars on your team, and that's something that the Detroit Pistons didn't have prior to Blake Griffin, but you got to do it within means. All right, paying Blake Griffin the money that he's going to get paid these next three seasons, that tremendously ties the hands of the organization to try and go out there and get other personnel and other talent. You've now hit the ceiling of the cap, and you put all of your eggs in the Blake Griffin basket for a player who, don't get me wrong, is great. He's a great player. He's a stretch forward. He's freakishly athletic. But in my opinion, Blake Griffin is not what the Detroit Pistons needed. They needed a point guard, a true point guard. Reggie Jackson is not a true point guard, okay? However, he's a scorer. And it's great to have his scoring ability in tandem with the point guard who can facilitate and run the offense and give him those good looks and good shots. They don't have that right now. They try forcing, and they have tried forcing Reggie Jackson as a point guard for far too long, and then he gets hurt, which hurts the team because that's a score that you don't have out in the basketball court, and then you have a backup point guard in Ish Smith trying to run things, and he's a backup. So I don't know. The Pistons, that's just a frustrating topic. So in its ramped up conversation, you know, has Stan Van Gundy lost the locker room? That's what you're hearing a lot now. And with that being said, should Stan Van Gundy be fired? You're hearing that conversation a lot. And I even heard this conversation on Monday morning. Just to put in perspective, just the overall perception when it comes to Detroit Pistons fans and many of you Michigan State men's basketball fans. Should Tom Izzo, yes, I can't believe I'm about to say this because this is the conversation I've heard, Ian. Should Tom Izzo dabble in the NBA now and possibly become the next head coach of the Detroit Pistons. I kid you not, this is on at least three forums that I saw on Monday morning. I got at least two texts from two of the homies on Tuesday morning talking about Tom maybe dabbling in the NBA and knowing that Stan Van Gundy is on the hot seat, maybe Izzo becoming the next man in charge there. It's everywhere. This is on the rumor mill right now. And that's what we're hearing right now. Now, when it comes to Izzo, I remember, you know, when I was a student at Michigan State, I believe, let me think here, that was my sophomore year at Michigan State. So I think it was like 2009, 2010, around that time. If you remember, the Cleveland Cavaliers reportedly, were going after Tom Izzo. And I'll never forget that. I remember talking with Larry Lage about this of the Associated Press, and Larry was saying, yeah, Al, that time was so crazy. I mean, there were reporters actually camped outside of the house of Tom Izzo, waiting for Izzo to come out the house and issue a statement on whether or not he was going to become the next head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers and take his talents to the NBA. Now, we all know what happened. Izzo has been here for a long time, since the mid-90s, and he decided not to take that job. But, you know, and I've always said this as well. I think Izzo, without a doubt, he's thought about it. I mean, he's thought about it, for sure. Or else we wouldn't have had the reporters camped outside of his house waiting on a statement, right? He's thought about going to the NBA and coaching NBA players. I just don't know if he still has that itch anymore. You know, especially the fact that Izzo has not won that second national championship. Especially the fact that Izzo is not one to run away from scrutiny and criticism, and that's exactly what he's getting right now. He's not going to run away and just say, all right, well, I didn't accomplish this goal. Woe is me. Let me go to the NBA and make some millions and see if I can win there. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's totally crazy. And that's what I've told those who have reached out to me and said, hey, Al, what about Izzo becoming the next head coach to replace Stan Van Gundy? No, you're reaching. You're just trying to create some hotly debated topic. That's not going to happen. Izzo, whatever your thoughts may be about him right now, and we have certainly addressed those thoughts these past 2 days. Whatever your thoughts may be right now, you can take this to the bank, all right? Izzo is not going to leave the Michigan State men's basketball team next year. I don't even know if the year after that. I don't know if the next 5 years. He is going to go down trying. You better believe that, okay? He is that kind of guy. He is that competitive. He wants to prove people wrong. You better believe he hears the criticism. He addressed the criticism directly after the game. Blame it on me. This is going to drive Izzo. Whether or not he'll be successful, you heard my thoughts on that. I don't know. This was his best shot. I don't think he's ever getting that second national title, but you better believe he's going to try. All right, he's going to keep on trying. He's not going to throw in the towel and say, all right, NBA, here I come. So Tom Izzo would not be the next head coach of the Detroit Pistons.
Well, and if you were a Pistons fan, why would you even want that? I mean, one of the biggest knocks against Izzo right now is that he can't develop young talent. So if Stan Van Gundy's having a problem developing this talent, and he's been in the NBA for a while, why would you want a guy who's never been there trying to do the same thing, you know?
And that's
it seems like you're taking
point.
A step backwards.
That's an interesting point, but I also will say this, Ian. I've always debated when having this discussion whether or not Izzo's coaching style would fly in the NBA. Izzo's a yeller. Izzo's a screamer. Izzo is intense. That don't really fly in the NBA when it comes to these spoiled multi-million dollar athletes whose egos are through the roof. You yell at, you know, a Reggie Jackson, he may just tune you out. You know what I mean? Or he may bite back at you, and there may be some controversy in that practice.
Well, you look at the fights he had with Nick Ward. You think if he gets into that with a guy like Boogie Cousins or somebody with a big personality like that, that would get physical.
Well, the thing
and
is,
Tom would always lose that battle. He's a short guy, so.
Exactly right. But the thing is, I mean, Stan Van Gundy is kind of the same way. Stan Van Gundy is a yeller. He'll get in your face. He'll criticize you. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. In many ways, the emotional temperament of Stan Van Gundy reminds me a lot of Tom Izzo. Now, granted, Stan Van Gundy has gotten to the NBA Finals one time with the Orlando Magic with Dwight Howard and company, but they lost. And Stan Van Gundy has not even sniffed that mountaintop since then. And there's a reason why. But let's chill. You know, when you hear stuff like this, and John Simon is immediately when I said it, he started shaking his head as well. John, it's a ridiculous argument. And again, we have it. And you know what? I also just briefly want to get your thoughts on Sunday afternoon, because we haven't got a – because, Ian, you were with me, you know, when we were covering a game at LCA on Sunday afternoon. But I'm curious. You were – I assume you were in East Lansing watching the game. You were around fellow students. I'm curious, what is – the opinion of the majority opinion of the student right now who follows Michigan State men's basketball? What are the students thinking of this program and of Tom Izzo right now?
I guess the opinion, the word that a couple of my friends have used to describe Michigan State basketball and Tom Izzo lately, they've been calling them bluffs. They did say that is the perfect term to describe Tom Izzo and the basketball team right now. But
and why bluffs? Why bluffs?
Just because, you know, they're getting your hopes up. They had all the reasons to be a great team, and the same result as the last 2 years. They didn't make it out of the first weekend. And, you know, I've had arguments with people about whether this loss is more disappointing than the Middle Tennessee State one, and I think you can make a case that it is. I mean, the other one was a surprising loss for sure, but... You know, this Michigan State team had a day and a half to prepare for this Syracuse team. They knew exactly what was going to come at them, and they just still couldn't finish it. But I don't hear many students calling for Izzo's head. I think that's more older fans, the public. But as far as the team in general, it is just widespread disappointment.
Yeah, I think disappointment has been the word of the week, and I think it will continue to be maybe the word of the year, to be honest with you. So the students aren't calling for the job of Izzo. The students here at Michigan State, the majority of the students here at Michigan State still love Izzo. They got his back, basically, right?
Yeah, I would
That's
say
good.
So.
That's encouraging because, again, I don't think that Izzo should lose his job
Neither do I.
On what happened on Sunday afternoon. I think that's totally reactionary from fans out there who are just letting anger dictate their thoughts and not putting in perspective what Izzo has meant, not just to the Michigan State men's basketball program, but to this university, to the East Lansing community, and heck, the entire state for that matter, okay? He shouldn't be fired. That's absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. So, but Izzo to the NBA, come on. Should we dead that conversation? Because I don't think it's completely dead, but he's not going to become the next head coach of the Detroit Pistons. I don't see that.
I'll be honest with you, Al. I didn't hear one person say that to me. And when I heard you, that's why
crazy,
I shot
right?
up out of my chair back here. I thought that was crazy. I mean, Izzo's not, he's a great college coach, but he's not one of the guys that I would ever see having success in the NBA. I mean, think about which great college coaches have had success in the NBA. It's really none. I mean, Brad Stevens might be the only one right now
that's
had success in both. And I mean, Coach K might be the only one that's been able to coach pro and college players and find success doing so. So I don't see Izzo, especially at his age, going to the NBA, especially working with a project like the Detroit Pistons.
Definitely. I agree with you. I mean, and again, there haven't been many. There's not many who can make that transition because the college and the professional game are just so different. The personalities are so different. It's just a different ball game when you're dealing with multi-million dollar professional basketball players in comparison to that of the college athlete. It's a different, and again, the way the game is played is a bit different as well. There's more games. There's just way the contrasts are really in your face.
Well, he wouldn't have to worry about facing the zone defense anymore. So
that's a good point. That is,
he might
really
have a little bit more success there.
Look at Ian taking shots.
I say that out loud?
Yeah, you definitely did. On the air, actually. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk Michigan men's basketball and John Beilein's ride to the Sweet 16, the miracle shot over Houston. What a moment it was. You'll also get to hear a really cool NPR feature, an interview done by Noelle King, as she talks to Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, the team chaplain of the Loyola Chicago men's basketball team. That and so much more. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Real briefly, a big shout out to Nancy Lieberman, who is making history again. Today, the Hall of Fame women's basketball player was hired as head coach in Ice Cube's Big Three Basketball League, actually replacing Clyde the Glide Drexler as coach of Team Power. Now, Lieberman had previously been the head coach of the Texas Legends in the D-League, making her the first woman to coach a men's professional sports team. How about that? Now, she later went on to be an assistant coach for the NBA's Sacramento Kings. But Lieberman now becoming the head coach of Team Power in Ice Cube's Big Three League, which is actually pretty entertaining. Have you seen the Big Three, Ian?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's so funny. Ice Cube put together this basketball league that is basically comprised of older NBA stars who still have an itch for the game, still have an itch to get out there and play. I mean,
are they retired?
Yeah, they're retired.
Okay.
So players like Allen Iverson, we've seen Steven Jackson playing it. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Players who you grew up watching, you know, guys I grew up watching as my favorite NBA players, right? They're still out there doing their thing. And it's really cool. They have a 4-point shot. That's really cool as well. It's like way out there, but guys are trying to
cool.
down for it. It's really cool stuff, and it's 3-on-3, you know? So they cut the court in half. It's half-court basketball, and you just got these guys going at it. Really fun stuff. So shout-out to Ice Cube, man. I think he's trying to just, you know, trying something new and different. And in its first year, I must say it was very entertaining to watch. All right. Well, we just wrapped up segment A, talking about the rumor mill of Tom Izzo possibly dabbling in the NBA. I'm seeing this conversation a lot on various forums out there. Izzo's not going to the NBA. Izzo is going to try and figure things out here in East Lansing and figure out how to get back to at least somewhere close to a championship and make a run to the Final Four. We'll see. We've been chatting about the Michigan State and Syracuse loss for the past 2 days, and I want to look at the broader picture of the tournament right now because there are so many really cool storylines and takeaways from this wild and wacky March Madness. This has truly been March Madness. You can probably make an argument that this has been the most entertaining tournament so far. I mean, did we ever think we would see a 16 seed finally top a 1 seed? Didn't think that would ever happen. You know, but it did on Friday night. You know, we were actually in the press box, right, Ian, watching that, and the press box started buzzing at Little Caesars Arena. I was editing, and I believe you were watching the Purdue game, right?
Yes, sir.
You were out there watching the Purdue game at the time. I was sitting back trying to edit and talking to some of the local reporters, and all of a sudden you hear this buzz in the media room, and it's everybody watching Virginia and UMBC. And UMBC ended up topping Virginia in just shocking as the Retrievers were able to pull off that. And it wasn't even close. It was a complete blowout. But never thought we would see that. And, you know, just the underdog. The underdog has really shown a lot of fight in this year's NCAA dance. It's been really cool to watch, the Michigan Miracle at the buzzer, which I'll get to in just a moment. But one of my favorite stories has also been Loyola Chicago. The assistant coach, one of the assistant coaches, I should say, for Loyola Chicago is actually Drew Valentine, who is the brother of Denzel Valentine. And Drew, you know, grew up in the Lansing area as well. Drew went on to play basketball under the leadership of Greg Campy at Oakland University. He was actually on Tom Izzo's staff for a hot minute, learning under Tom Izzo, and now has moved on to become an assistant coach at Loyola Chicago and is having immense success as Loyola Chicago is now in the Sweetness of 16, beating number 3 Tennessee to get there. But also, the story that really has captivated me, Ian, is Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. Sister Jean is the team chaplain, who is 98 years old. She says a prayer before the games. She gives the team encouragement. She's there in her wheelchair cheering on the team. She has stolen March Madness, in my opinion. Right now, I want to roll in a piece done by NPR's Noelle King, as she got a chance to chat with Sister Jean about her relationship with the squad and the success that Loyola Chicago has had throughout the tourney thus far.
All right, if you want to succeed against the odds, you got to have faith. And this year, the University of Loyola Chicago's men's basketball is succeeding against the odds. Here's a clip from the TNT Network's coverage of their upset win Saturday against the number 3 seed Tennessee.
Here comes the player of the year, the Anthony C. rises.
Some say the team's success has something to do with their chaplain. Her name is Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. She is 98 years old. When our co-host Noel King talked with Sister Jean, they discussed not only her team's rise to fame, but her own.
You are 98 years old, and all of a sudden you are in the media spotlight. What is that like?
Well, it seemed to me it all kind of mushroomed at once. And I don't know how it really happened, but everybody loves it, and so do I.
How did you end up as the chaplain of the Loyola Chicago men's basketball team? Did you have experience playing or coaching?
I was just asked to do that. I coached girls basketball when I taught in the elementary school in Southern California, so they knew I had that experience. Also, I used to go to the games at Loyola because I really love basketball.
And I want to talk about some of the work you do outside, because I understand that you kind of scout the opposition. Do you use that information to help your Ramblers? Do you do any coaching on the side?
Yes, I do. I scout the teams, and the coach knows that I do that. So I look at their record to see how they're doing and who stays in how many minutes, how good they are free throws. So I use that in part of my prayer.
Wait, how do you use your scouting in your prayer? Do you say, hey, you know, help us get around number 22? He's a real fast one? Like, how does it work?
I always start with, good and gracious God, we need your help. And sometimes we need it more than ever. And that's what's happening to us in the NCAA. We call upon you, oh God, to be there with us. We'll do our part. We'll run up and down the court to get our baskets. We'll keep away from fouls, and we'll try to make our shots. I also will pray that the referees make their calls fairly for each side.
Tomorrow, your Loyola Ramblers play the Nevada Wolf Pack. I'm guessing that you've probably gone online and scouted the Wolf Pack. What kind of guidance are you giving your players? How do you see this game playing out?
I haven't had time yet to do my scouting things for Nevada, but I will check their website today, look at their team to see how well they've done, how their players have spent, how much time they've spent on the court, how many times they've fouled, how many times they've rebounded. And I put that all together and tell our young men who they should avoid.
Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And good luck.
Thank you so much.
Ah, Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. Man, Loyola Chicago, she's the team chaplain who gives a word of encouragement, invoking the presence of the Lord before they hit the floor. And it's just a real cool story. And that's what makes the NCAA men's basketball tournament so special, because stories that, you know, you normally don't get the chance to see throughout the men's college basketball year because everybody is so focused on the big dogs, right? That little old Loyola Chicago, a team that normally does not get a lot of press coverage, does, because they have knocked off some big dogs in the tournament. You know, that they're the Cinderella, one of the Cinderellas right now that everybody is really keeping an eye on. So one more time, Ian, can you play just one more time for me?
I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he helped Joshua fight the Battle of Jericho. Yes. He helped Daniel get out the lion's den. He helped Gilligan get off the island. Lord.
Lord. When you got the Lord on your side. Gilligan. I love that bite from Coming to America. Shout out to Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy, man. But yeah, Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt invoking the presence of the man upstairs. And Loyola Chicago will actually take on Nevada. That game will happen tomorrow. Loyola Chicago is an 11 seed going against Nevada, a 7 seed. If you remember, Nevada actually stunned the college basketball world. Also kind of a Cinderella in the tournament as they beat Cincinnati by 2 points to earn a bid to the Sweet 16. Nevada came from something crazy like 22 points down. But this is how your Sweet 16 looks. Kansas State, Kentucky, Villanova, actually the favorite to win the national championship right now. I had Villanova going the whole way in my main bracket, but Villanova will take on West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Purdue. And then in the West, you have Florida State and Gonzaga, and Michigan and Texas A&M. Now, the funny thing about that part of the bracket now is, you know, the road to a possible Final Four for Michigan looks pretty good right now. Michigan is the highest remaining seed in the West as the number 3 seed. Gonzaga is the 4 seed, but Michigan will take on Texas A&M. That game will take place tomorrow out in Los Angeles, California, and then in the Midwest, the other remaining number 1 seed in the tournament is Kansas, who will play Clemson on the 23rd on Friday. And then you have, of course, Syracuse and Duke. That was supposed to be Michigan State and Duke. So for me, Ian, Delora Schmidt has been my favorite personality of the tournament so far. Without it, I don't know how you can beat her, right? But my most memorable moment, I don't know how you can pick against. Well, there's a few other nominations, but I don't know how you can pick against the Michigan Miracle, right? It's a pool party, and I heard this cat named Jordan is hosting. Jordan Poole. Wow. What a shot that was. And that was the same. You're cracking up about that analogy I just threw out.
That was good.
Right?
I like that.
You like that?
I'm going to save that for later.
It's a pool party, baby, and this cat named Jordan is hosting it. I like that. I can't stay claim to that one, no. Shout out to my man, Ryan. I stole that from you, Ryan. I owe you a few bucks on that, right? I want to use it here on Current Sports, though. But the play that John Beilein drew up was the same play that beat Maryland earlier on in the season. Houston decided not to guard the inbounds pass. It goes to Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, who was slated to take the shot. He gets double teamed. He hears Jordan Poole on his right calling for the basketball. Jordan Poole gets the basketball. And I must say the defender was right in his grill, but the release was so quick that it really didn't affect the shot. It goes in, and pandemonium ensues. Jordan Poole runs around because he said afterwards he didn't want to be tackled by his teammates. He wanted to kind of run around and soak it all in, but he did. He eventually gave up, and his teammates tackled him. But probably the coolest moment of that whole celebration, did you see what Mo Wagner did?
Yeah, he went over to, who was it?
Corey Davis. Corey Davis was sitting there loping about it, right? And, you know, he's kind of had his hands on his hips saying, I can't believe this just happened. Mo Wagner's running to join the dog pile celebration. He stops, looks at Corey, goes over to him, shakes his hand, and throws his arm around his shoulder, the shoulder of Davis. And I don't know what he said. I'm pretty sure he said, hey, man, sorry, good luck, great game, something like that, and then kept it moving. But talk about class. That was such a classy move. So that's my two, Sister Jean Delora Schmidt, my favorite personality of the tournament so far, favorite moment, Jordan Poole's shot. What about you?
I agree. I think the Wagner, the moment there with Corey Davis perfectly epitomizes the difference between, you know, smack talk on the court and being a bad person off the court. You know, a lot of players get vilified for the way that they play their respective games. Mm-hmm. Christian Laettner is the perfect example. But he wasn't a nice guy off the court either. I mean, Mo Wagner is one of those guys who talks a lot of smack, makes the angry face, the scowl face when he's coming back down the court to play defense. But as soon as the game is over, he goes right back to being just a great human being. And I think that that's a very a good lesson to take away from that game.
Sports are awesome, aren't they? But and also a few other things of note throughout the tournament so far. Duke crushing Rhode Island. Coach K logged his 1,099th career victory to surpass legendary Tennessee coach, women's basketball coach Pat Summitt for the most Division I basketball wins, men's or women's. And I think MSU would have lost to Duke if they, even if they did meet again. I mean, I think that's with the majority, if you're not a Spartan fan, the majority of brackets out there. Well, I wouldn't even say that because actually the ESPN pundits chose MSU to go all the way. So I don't know. I feel like most of the brackets, though, out there, logical brackets, had Michigan State losing to Duke.
Well, isn't it interesting that if we had lost to Duke in the Sweet 16, the season would have been a success? But we lost one game earlier, and now the whole thing's a failure?
Well, yeah, because you can't lose to the last at-large team in Syracuse. That was a team that wasn't even supposed to make the tournament, and they ended up winning the play-in game, and they ended up going to the second round, and they ended up shocking Michigan State. That can't happen. You can't lose to Syracuse.
That's fair.
They're not supposed to be here.
I'm just saying, one more game, right, and the whole season is flip-flopped. You know, it's crazy how, in the fans' minds, that can be the case.
It's how it goes. Yeah, Michigan State, and Michigan State shot something crazy like 25.8%. That's horrendous. Here we go. Talking about Michigan State again. But yeah, all right. Let's
can't get away from it,
because I do want to get to this topic, and we'll elaborate more on it tomorrow. But Eastern Michigan University actually deciding to cut four sports. I think this move says a lot when it comes to the state of collegiate athletics today. All right. We'll also invite John Simon live here in studio because he sees some parallels between this and what happened with another school here in our great nation. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, let's close out current sports with this story because it's a bit shocking on many levels, but Eastern Michigan University facing steep budget shortfalls actually will drop four of its sports programs at the end of the school year. Now, when it comes to those sports they are cutting, those sports are softball, men's swimming and diving, wrestling, and women's tennis. Now, with the change, EMU, which actually previously led the Mid-American Conference with 21 sports, EMU will now have 17. Seven men's sports, 10 women's sports. The school will remain in the MAC, but the move comes as Eastern Michigan eliminates other positions in order to make up a projected budget deficit of, get this, $4.5 million to $5.5 million for just the 2018 fiscal year. 42 other positions are being eliminated and 17 layoffs are also being made. This move will affect 58 male student athletes, 25 female student athletes, ultimately saving approximately $2.4 million. John Simon now joins me here in Studio S. John, when you heard about this story, you see some parallels when it comes to the University of Buffalo, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a school that I might have mentioned on here before that I grew up right down the street from. And last spring, they cut four of their sports teams as well, and they were men's baseball, men's soccer, men's swimming and diving, and women's rowing. And similar to Eastern Michigan, while they're not, you know, people like to call it revenue sports, and you just mentioned it, there was 75, 80 student athletes that were affected by those cuts. And that's where I noticed the biggest, who takes the biggest toll from these cuts. It's not the school trying to save money. It's those athletes, those students, more importantly, that are losing an opportunity. And that's what really hurts. And last year when UB dropped their programs, I talked to a former MSU graduate student, Matt Micah, mm-hmm. who used to work with a lot of sports journalism stuff here, and he used to play baseball at Akron, mm-hmm. and they cut their program right after he left, and he told me stories of kids who he played with or kids that he knew from there, where some of them either had to transfer schools or stop playing for the team for a year. I mean, it really puts kids in bad situations when schools cut these teams.
And you know who I also think about in this conversation, John, is the student body at a place like Eastern Michigan University. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I encourage you guys to watch it as we dive into this conversation tomorrow. But if you haven't seen it, HBO's Real Sports did a piece on college athletics and schools like an EMU, a mid-major college, overspending just to have the lore of a college football program.
Right.
And you're basically putting things on a credit card, right? I mean, on a credit card that puts you in a huge deficit. I mean, like a $24 million in the red, basically, right? And you're doing this just to have a status claim to try and keep your university on the forefront and on the map when it comes to athletics. But who's fitting that bill? The student body.
Absolutely.
And a lot of, you know, what's so crazy is that a lot of students don't even know that they are paying this extra money to keep a really not sexy college basketball program like Eastern Michigan University to try and keep that program afloat. They don't even know that's on the bill. And, you know, and even it even profiles one student who was like, I believe, like living in his car, I think.
Oh, God.
And, you know, because he didn't have enough tuition money to fund his academics. And he's sitting there, and he didn't even know that the university is putting on the bills of students there money that goes strictly to athletics.
Right.
If I'm a student, I would be pretty ticked if I didn't know that, and it was coming out of my pocket. Crazy, right?
Yeah, and you bring up the point about football, you know, the lure, and that was the big thing with UB. Now, I don't think they were in any sort of deficit with their athletic department, but we found out that the reason for them cutting these sports was to build a field house on their campus. And people from Michigan will know, because UB is a fellow mid-American school, they're not the greatest football program in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will be upset when you see money being put into a program that may not ever become anything big. And that's where you talk about why do you have to create the lure of a big college football program? UB, we just saw it. They beat Arizona in the NCAA tournament. This is their third trip in 4 years to the national basketball tournament. Make that your feature program and keep these other sports teams instead of pouring more money into a football program that's going to continue to not be Power 5 caliber.
Right.
It's the Northeast. People don't care about college sports, and if they do, it's basketball or hockey. Keep your interests where they belong.
Rachel, and dude, I'm totally with you. We'll dive and dissect because there's a few more points, a lot more points, actually. that I want to get to on tomorrow's Current Sports. So tune in, same time, same place tomorrow. We will also have, as well, my dear friend Ira Childress, who is the athletic director at Okemos High School. He can probably provide some insight when it comes to collegiate athletics and budget spending and that kind of thing. So don't miss it. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.